Radio Africana,
your non-stop entertainment radio.
Can we give each other hope? 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 Hope, bring another hope. And that's what we need in this world indeed. So do not be afraid to keep each other safe.
Good evening. You're listening to Second Chances with Hilaire Asumo on Radio Africana. And I'm glad you're here. We opened tonight with Hopebringer by Jean-Paul and Roxanne Asumo. If you know that song, you know what it carries. It's a song people reach for when the road ahead is unclear. When they're holding on, when they need to be reminded that something is still moving, even when they cannot see it. That is exactly where tonight's conversation starts. In the space between faith and fear, between trust and uncertainty, between what we believe and what we are being told we need to do. Before we go any further, I want to take a moment to reflect on last week's episode. Last week, we marked Mother's Day. We spoke about dialysis and what it really means to live with kidney failure. We walked through the difference between hemodialysis and peritoneal dialysis, not just medical facts, but what those choices mean for new families. We talked about the weight the mothers carry when illness enters their home, and we spoke about organ donation and what it means to give someone a second chance at life. About love expressed through sacrifice, and the conversations that most families delay until it's too late to have them calmly. If you missed that episode, I encourage you to find it and listen, because tonight builds directly on that foundation. Here is why. When illness arrives, it does not come alone. It brings voices with it. Doctors, nurses, family members, friends, and for many of the people listening tonight, the church. For many of us, faith is not a background thing. It is central to how we live, how we understand suffering, and how we believe healing works. That is not a weakness. That is a foundation. But sometimes, those voices do not say the same thing. The church says one thing, the family says another. And the person at the center, the one who is ill, the one who has to decide, is left trying to figure out which voice to follow. That is what we're here to talk about tonight. We're not here to take sides. We're not here to argue about faith, but to understand what is happening in those moments, what it does to people, and how to find a way forward that protects both your health and your beliefs. This conversation matters because people are making real decisions right now. Some of them quietly, under pressure, alone. We will continue after this. Here is Kirk Franklin with I Smile.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment. This song's for you.
Today's a new day, but there is no sunshine. Nothing but clouds, and it's dark in my heart, and it feels like a cold night. Today's a new day, but where are my blue skies? Where is the love and the joy that you promised? Tell me it's alright.
I'll be honest with you.
I almost gave up, but a power that I can't explain fell from heaven like a shower.
When I think how much better I'm gonna be when this is over.
Fell from heaven like a
down from heaven. Hardships, difficulties,
right now.
Tears, storms, this is what I do.
I smile.
Woo.
Even though I hurt, see, I smile.
Boy, that feels good.
I know God is working, so I smile.
All things are working.
Even though I've been here for a while,
still,
I smile. Smile.
Hallelujah.
It's so hard to look up when you've been down.
I know it's hard right now.
Sure would hate to see you give up now.
Because you're a winner.
You look so much better when you smile.
You look better.
So smile.
You to be happy, but then you gotta have something happen. I want you to have joy, cause can't nobody take that from you. I see you smiling.
Jesus, you're wise. every life, I worship you.
Welcome back. You're listening to Second Chances with Hilaria Asumu on Radio Africana. Coming up, we're going to look at why this conflict between faith and family actually happens. Not from a critical place, from an understanding place. Because once you understand where the tension comes from, it becomes easier to navigate. In this segment, we'll look at why this conflict happens. Let us begin with something that might sound simple, but is actually the key to tonight's whole conversation. When faith and family come into conflict around a health decision, they are almost always trying to achieve the same thing. Both want healing, both want protection, both want that person to live. The conflict is not about the destination, it is about the root. The church speaks from faith, from the belief that God heals, that prayer changes outcomes, that miracles are real and available. For many people, that belief is not theoretical. They have seen it happen. They carry testimonies. And so, when illness comes, their instinct is to lean hard into prayer, to trust, to stand firm, to believe without wavering. That instinct comes from love, from genuine care, from spiritual conviction. The family, on the other hand, is often standing in a different reality. They are at the hospital. They are watching the numbers on the chart. They are talking to the renal nurses. They are researching dialysis units. They are working out transport. They are asking the practical question, what does this person need right now to stay alive? And that urgency comes from love too. The problem is not that either side is wrong. The problem is that they are speaking different languages. And the person at the center has to try and translate both. Let me give you a scenario. A patient is told by their doctor, you need to start dialysis soon. The family begins preparing. They call the unit, they arrange time off work, they are ready. But then, someone from the church says, wait, let us pray first. Let us believe God for healing. Do not rush into this. Now, the patient is sitting with two sets of instructions. Start now or wait in faith. And neither group is saying this to cause harm. They both mean well. But the patient feels the huge weight of that contradiction. Here's another one. Someone is ready to register as an organ donor. They want to help others. They feel clear about it, but they hear concerns from their faith community. Questions about what happens to the body. Doubts about whether this is spiritually acceptable. That seed of doubt lands in an already complicated space, and again, the person is left holding it. What makes this situations particularly difficult is the timing. These conversations do not happen in calm moments. They happen in waiting rooms, in family WhatsApp groups, at hospital bedsides, under fear, urgency, and grief. And that is when people are least able to think clearly. I want to say something directly here. Faith and medicine are not enemies. They never have to be. Many patients pray before surgery. many families hold hands around a hospital bed and ask God to guide the surgeon's hands. Many healthcare professionals are people of deep faith themselves. The tension is not between faith and medicine. The tension arises when one voice is used to silence the other, when faith becomes a barrier to receiving care, or when medical advice dismisses what someone believes about their own healing. I know this from my own life. In 2018, I received a kidney transplant, and in the years of illness that led up to that moment, I had to navigate voices too. Medical voices, family voices, spiritual voices. I had moments of deep faith and moments of genuine fear. I prayed and I also showed up for every appointment. I trusted God and I also trusted the team of doctors and nurses who were keeping me alive. Those things did not contradict each other. They held each other together. Faith can guide you, but it should not prevent you from receiving the care your body needs. That line has helped a lot of people I've spoken to over the years. I hope it helps someone listening tonight. We'll take a short break, then we come back to talk about what this tension actually does to people on the inside, because the emotional weight of this situation is real. And it deserves to be spoken about clearly. Here is Tasha Combs Leonard, Break Every Chain. I hope you enjoy.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Woo! To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power.
Come on. Come on, you declare it.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
There is power.
There is power
in the name.
In the name of Jesus.
We know where it is to break
every chain.
Break every chain.
Break every chain.
Come on, say it to me.
Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain.
There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. There's an army. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Welcome back. You're listening to Second Chances with Hilaria Asumo on Radio Africana. In the next part of the program, we'll look at the emotional side of this conflict, what it does to people, and why it often stays silent. The topic for this segment is the emotional weight of being in the middle. We have just talked about why the conflict between faith and family happens. Now I want to go somewhere quieter, to what it actually feels like when you are the person in the middle of it. Because for many people, the hardest part is not the decision itself, it is carrying the weight of it alone. Think about who this person is. They have grown up in a faith community that shaped everything. How they see illness, how they understand suffering, what they believe about healing. That faith is not just a set of beliefs, it is identity. It is community. It is home. At the same time, their family loves them deeply. And that love shows up as urgency. Go to the appointment, take the medication, do not delay. Now both of those things are pressing in at the same time, and neither of them feels like it can be dismissed. So what happens? Guilt starts to appear. If I follow the medical advice, am I showing a lack of faith? Am I telling my church I do not really believe? What will people think of me? Especially if you are a church leader or a youth leader or just somebody that's prominent in the church. And from the other side, they question themselves. If I wait, am I putting my life at risk? If I hold up on treatment to pray and something goes wrong, what happens then? Then fear arrives. And they start thinking, what if I choose wrong? What if I regret this? And underneath all of that is isolation. Because when you're afraid of disappointing everyone, you stop talking. You carry it quietly. You smile in church. You answer the family's questions calmly. But internally, you are exhausted. I want to speak particularly to women tonight, because this is often where women carry the heaviest load. They are frequently the ones at the center of family health decisions. They are the ones managing relationships, managing the home, managing the faith expectations, while simultaneously managing their own illness or someone else's. And they do it quietly, because that is what has been modeled. That is what has been expected. Let me give you a scenario that is very real. A mother is told she needs to start dialysis. Her children are frightened. They want her to begin treatment immediately. They have already found a unit near their home. But within her faith circle, the message is different. God can heal without this. Stand firm. Do not rush. She sits in that space. She wants to believe. That is who she is. She wants to live. That is also who she is. And she does not want to be the reason her family is divided. That is a heavy place to sit. And it's more common than people admit. Here is what I want to say to anyone in that space tonight. You are not failing your faith by asking questions. You are using the mind God gave to you. Asking your doctor what will happen if you delay treatment is not faithlessness, it is wisdom. And asking your faith leader to help you understand how prayer and treatment can work together is not disrespect. It is exactly what pastoral support is for. There is one more thing I want to address here. Sometimes families in their urgency can become controlling without meaning to. They push, they repeat, they take over conversations with doctors, and the patient starts to feel invisible. Like the decisions are being made around them and not with them. you're a family member listening tonight, hear this gently. Your job is not to make the decision. Your job is to make sure the person you love feels safe enough to make it themselves with your support. Support is presence, not pressure. It would be better to remember that, because the person you're supporting, your family member, is feeling overwhelmed. We'll take another short break, and when we come back, we'll be looking at practical steps. How do you actually bring these conversations together? How do you move forward when the voices around you are pulling in different directions? Here is Mary Mary, Shackles Praise You. I'll see you back here in a minute.
Sure is hot out here. No, I don't mind though. Glad to be free. You know what I'm saying?
Welcome back. You're listening to Second Chances with Hilaria Asumu. Coming up, how to navigate this in real life, practically and with clarity. The topic for this segment is how to navigate faith and medical decisions. We've talked about why this conflict happens. We've talked about what it feels like from the inside. Now, let us talk about what you can actually do, because at some point, a decision has to be made, and that decision deserves to come from a place of clarity, not confusion. The first step is separating the voices, not dismissing them, but organizing them. Start with your medical team. Book time, not a rushed conversation at the end of an appointment. Real time with real questions. What is happening in my body right now? What will happen if I delay treatment? What are my options? What does quality of life look like on each path? Write the questions down before you go. Bring someone with you if that helps. You have the right to fully understand your own medical situation, not a simplified version, the full picture. Then, and this is important, speak to your faith leader privately, not in a general setting where everything is filtered through the wider community. A private conversation. Explain a specific situation. Ask specific questions. What does our faith actually say about receiving medical treatment? Can I pursue treatment and still stand in faith? Will you pray with me as I go through this? You may find, and many people do, that the private conversation is very different from the general messages heard in a public setting. A good faith leader will not ask you to choose between prayer and a dialysis machine. They will pray with you and send you to your appointment. Here is a simple scenario that shows how this can work. A patient is advised to begin dialysis. Instead of holding the two wards separately, she brings them together. She meets her doctor and understands exactly what her kidneys need and what will happen without treatment. She then sits with her pastor privately and explains where she is. The pastor says, "Pray, trust God, and go to your treatment." That is the message she needed. That is the message that removes confusion. That combination, prayer and treatment, is not contradiction. It is wholeness. The second step is bringing the family into an informed conversation. Not an argument, not a pressure session. A structured, calm conversation where the medical facts are shared clearly. What has the doctor said? What are the options? What does treatment actually look like day to day? When families understand the facts, they stop fighting the unknown. A lot of the pressure families place on patients comes from fear, and fear often shrinks when it meets information. Third, consider whether a second medical opinion would help. Not because the first doctor is wrong, but because when two independent professionals tell you the same thing, the path becomes easier to trust. That is not a lack of faith, it is wisdom. Fourth, seek out peer support if you can. Speak to someone who is already living with dialysis. Ask what daily life looks like, what is manageable, what surprised them. Because real experience from real people cuts through fear in a way that information alone cannot. There is a network that exists exactly for this. The WSH BME Kidney Network connects people from African, Caribbean, and Black British communities who are navigating kidney disease. If you or someone you love needs that kind of support, reach out. No one should be making these decisions in isolation. And finally, give yourself permission to take time, not unlimited time, not indefinite delay, but enough time to think clearly before you decide. Wisdom is knowing when to pray and when to act, and sometimes doing both at the same time. That is not compromise, that is maturity. I want to say one more thing before we move to the close. I have walked this road, not as a spectator, but as a patient. I sat in hospital rooms trying to understand what my body needed. I sat in faith spaces trying to understand what my spirit needed. I faced decisions that had no simple answer, and what I found was this. The two things I needed most were not in competition. I needed the doctor's knowledge, and I needed my faith, and both held me, and both got me here. That is the message of second chances, that healing is possible, that clarity is achievable, and that you do not have to lose who you are to save your life. Here is Cissy Winans with Goodness of God.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful. Of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. And in darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. Yeah. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful.
Oh, yes, you have.
And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Welcome back. You're listening to Second Chances with Hilaria Asumo. You're coming now to the close of tonight's program. I want to take a few minutes to gather everything together and leave you with something you can carry forward. Tonight, we have covered a lot of ground. We started with why this conflict between faith and family happens in the first place. Not because either side is wrong, but because they are speaking different languages under pressure. We talked about what it feels like to be the person in the middle. The guilt, the fear, the silence that builds when you're afraid of disappointing everyone. And we talked about practical ways through all of this. How to have the conversation separately first, then bring them together. How to get the information your body needs and the spiritual support your soul needs at the same time. I want to leave you with three things tonight. The first is this. You are allowed to trust God and still take the treatment that keeps you alive. These are not opposites. Faith and medicine have never been enemies. The tension we feel between them is often created by voices that mean well but are speaking into fear, not into understanding. The second is this. You cannot make a decision from an overwhelmed mind. Create space before you decide. Step away from the noise. Ask your doctor the full question. Ask your faith leader the direct question. And then let the answer land before you act. The third is this. Silence is not peace. It is just postponed confusion. The conversation you're avoiding with your family about kidney disease, about dialysis, about organ donation, that conversation needs to happen. Not because it is easy, but because it is necessary. Because the people you love deserve to know what you want, and you deserve to be heard. If tonight's program has spoken to you, I'm asking you to do one thing. Have the conversation. Not all of it at once, not perfectly, but just start with your family, with your doctor, with a friend you trust. Because silence builds walls and conversation builds bridges. Thank you for spending tonight with me. Thank you for listening. Thank you for caring about these conversations. Next week, we continue another conversation rooted in lived experience, in community, and in the belief that knowledge changes outcomes. If tonight's program helped you, please share it with a friend, a family member, a neighbor, someone in your church. You do not need to say anything, just send it. You never know who is quietly sitting with exactly this question. So we leave you tonight with Andra Day, Rise Up, because that is what this whole program is about. Rising up with knowledge, with faith, with community behind you. Good night. This has been Second Chances with Hilaria Asumu on Radio Africana. See you next week. Here is Andra Day with Rise Up. Bye.
You're broken down and tired of living life on the merry-go-round. And you can't find a fighter, but I see it in you, so we gon' walk it out. Move mountains. We gon' walk it out and move mountains. And I'll rise up, I'll rise like the day. Silence is in quiet, and it feels like it's it getting hard to breathe, and I know you feel like dying, but I promise we would take the world to its feet. Move, I won't dance, bring it to its feet. Move, I won't dance, and I'll rise. For that we have each other. I will rise 1,000 times again.